Morning, church.
Morning.
Matthew chapter 15, from verse 29 all through to verse 39. Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Great crowd came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. His disciples answered, where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd? How many loaves do you have? Jesus answered. 7, they replied, and a few small fish. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Afterwards, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was 4,000 men, beside women and children. After Jesus had sent the crowd away, he got into the boat and went to the vicinity of Magadan. May the Lord bless the reading of his words in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's pray that, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we praise you so much for the gift of your Holy Spirit on this day of Pentecost, as we remember the sending of your Spirit, the birth of the church. We praise you for the Spirit who inspired these words to be written. And we praise you for the work of the Spirit who opens our eyes, who enlightens us to be able to understand your word. And so we pray that he would be amongst us today, that you, Holy Spirit, would open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word. And we pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. As a family, one of our favorite places to go when it's a sunny day like this, I don't know why, but today we've not got clicker issues. We have got clicker issues. Can we move on to the PowerPoint and then see if it resumes? Okay, I've got it back. That's great. This is one of our favorite places to go. Oh, goodness. It's just going forward and forward and forward. From the first picture, did you know where it was? Anyone? We'll get that first picture back up.
The Water Rock Center.
Yeah, that's right. The Lee Valley White Water Center. Has anyone been to the Lee Valley White Water Center?
Yeah, I nearly drowned.
You nearly drowned there? That must have been entertaining to watch. It's not. You're not supposed to go drown there. We like going there. You can go for a nice little walk around there. You can see there's a sand pit there for the kids. The cafe is not bad as well. But of course, the best thing to do is to watch Diego and people like Diego falling into the water and watching the stuff that's going on the whitewater rapids. There's often kind of like the big rafts that go down, and you see people having a great time. But even better than that, I quite enjoy watching. You can almost every day you can see the elite athletes training for the Olympics, Paris 2024. They've got their Great Britain flag and their name on the side of the boat, and you can see them going down. So they start obviously at the top of the course. So they start at the top. They battle their way through the. They have to go all through these gates there, all the way down to the round the corner to the bottom of the course. And when they get to the bottom of the course, do you know what they do? They paddle round to this elevator ramp for boats, and they go all the way back up to the top, and then they come back down again. and then they go up, and they come back down again. And so as you're stood there watching these athletes come down, haven't we just seen this? It's a bit like a replay. They're doing exact same thing over and over again. Haven't we already done this? But of course, repetition, doing the same thing over and over again, is a key part of their training. There are slight differences every time they go down the course, but actually it is a very similar job each time. The same principles, the same pattern. Now, reading our passage today, we might think, this seems like a replay. Haven't we been here before? Haven't we just done this? It's a very similar story from just the previous chapter. Do you remember this from a few weeks ago? The feeding of the 5,000, just in chapter 14. But Jesus uses this repetition to teach his disciples that the job that he is calling them to do follows a very similar pattern. Jesus is like a coach training his followers for a mission. And Coach Jesus puts his followers through this repetition to show them the pattern of the kingdom. And there really is a whole lot of repetition here in this passage. In fact, almost everything that we read, we've already seen somewhere in Matthew's gospel. So, for example, here we go. Here we get to this part. In verse 29, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Where have we seen this before? Anyone remember where we've seen Jesus sitting down on the side of a mountain? He did go up on a mountain to pray, but also, and remember from chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount? When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. You should have said if you knew it. What about the, well, you can help out in a minute because there'll be more interaction in a minute. In verse 30, we saw that great crowds came to him. This has been happening throughout Matthew's gospel, for example, in chapter 4, verse 25. In verse 31, we see that these people with all sorts of diseases come to Jesus and are healed by Jesus. Again, there's been a lot of that happening, including in Matthew chapter 4, verse 24. And how do the people respond in verse 31? Again, you can help me out with this. How do the people respond when they see all of this happening? Thank you, Rachel. Everyone look at Rachel's amazed face. Oh, that's beautiful. You're in the wrong line of work. You should be an actor. They're amazed, yeah. And amazement is a big theme throughout the book of Matthew, including in chapter 9, verse 33. And as well as being amazed, they also, verse 31, praise the God of Israel, just like they did in Matthew chapter 9, verse 8. So there's already been a whole lot of repetition before we've even got to the feeding of the 4,000, which is very similar indeed to the feeding of the 5,000 in chapter 14. So if you flick back, just put them side by side. We've just read 4,000, but flick back to chapter 14. Just scan your eyes down from verse 13 there, that story. And you'll see that even in the way that Matthew tells the story, is really very similar. In both stories, Jesus and a large crowd are in a remote place. In both stories, it says he has compassion on them. Both times, the disciples are at a loss because they've only got a bit of fish and bread. On both occasions, Jesus gets the crowd to sit down. He gives thanks. He breaks the bread. He passes it to the disciples. And in both cases, everyone eats and they're satisfied. In both cases, there are baskets of leftovers. And in both stories, Jesus then gets into a boat and crosses the lake. So it's really a very similar story. But there are some differences. So you can help me out with this again. What are the differences? So flip back to chapter 14. And can you? How many differences can we spot between the two stories? Yes, Chloe. Thank you. So the audience is different. 4,000 instead of 5,000 plus women and children on both occasions. Other things that are different?
5 loaves and then 7 loaves.
Thank you. So the resources are different. In the first story, they had 5 loaves and 2 fish. This time they've got 7 loaves and a few fish. Anything else?
The baskets.
Tell me about the baskets. Yeah, so a different amount of resources in terms of the baskets as well. And we'll get to another difference with the baskets in a minute.
They need to learn to fish.
They need to learn to fish, it sounds like it. It sounds like it. But actually, there is a difference which relates to that. What is the other difference in terms of the circumstances? This is a bit kind of... Yeah, so he's just landed from a boat in one, that's right, and he's on a mountainside in another. Say this again.
The boy provides
the lunch, yeah, so the circumstances are a bit different. Also, they've been there for 3 days this time, whereas the first time they'd just been there for 1 day till the evening. Anything else? There are a couple of other... What's that? A different time. Yeah, that's because you've got the PowerPoint in front of you. You're right. Thank you. What do you mean then, Carnell, by a different time? Tell me. Why don't I tell you? Because this isn't so obvious from a plain reading of the text. But actually, it probably does happen at a different time, a different season of the year. So in chapter 14, Jesus asked them to sit down. And where does he ask them to sit down? On the grass, right? And from John's gospel, we know that this is green grass. But here in chapter 15, Matthew uses a different word. He asks them to sit down on the ground, on the earth. And so it seems like the grass has dried up. We're in a different season. It's a different time of year. And we're also in a different place. We're in a different place. Last time this happened, the feeding of the 5,000, that was in a Jewish region. But we know from Mark's gospel that this time, he's by the Sea of Galilee, but he's in the Gentile part of it, on the Gentile side. He's in the region of the Decapolis. And so it's probably a largely Gentile, non-Jewish audience this time. And we get hints of that in our passage. Notice in verse 31, back in chapter 15 now, verse 31 at the end there, it says, "And they praised the God of Israel." That would be a more natural thing to say if the people who are doing the praising are from outside of Israel. And there's another hint, actually, with the baskets. And I wondered if Auntie Marie-Jeanne had this Greek insight into the baskets here. And I was very surprised. But it's true that the baskets are actually different. So back in chapter 14, the word used for basket is a word that describes a wicker basket that is specifically related to Jewish people, so maybe it's used to carry kosher food, whereas here in chapter 15, it's a more general use hamper. In fact, it's the same word used for, you remember when the Apostle Paul was lowered out of the wall of a city, down the wall of the city? It's the same thing, so it's like a big old hamper. So it's a different word. And the suggestion is that perhaps it's just a different word because it's a different area. Just like, you know, if someone brings their packed lunch in a Walmart plastic bag, you think they're probably not from the UK. We don't have Walmart, we have Asda, unless you're in Leeds. I think they have Walmart in Leeds for some reason. But there you go. You get the idea. It's a different bag because they're from a different place. And so in a sense, this story actually is kind of an extension of what we saw last time. Do you remember what we were looking at last week? Look back at the passage before. Jesus' ministry beyond Israel. So just like he showed mercy to that one Canaanite woman, now he serves thousands of non-Jews. She got crumbs from the table. They get bread in abundance. Hers was a single serving. This is mass catering. And mass catering for the Gentiles. He's underscoring the point that it wasn't a one-off helping that lady. His kingdom would extend in all of its fullness to all peoples. And so he repeats the exact same miracle, this time in Gentile territory, to make the point that he will do for them exactly what he has done for the Jews. Does that make sense? This is why he repeats the miracle exactly the same. He's showing us this isn't just his mission strategy for the Jews. It's not like, well, this works for Israel, but we'll do something else elsewhere. Actually, it's the same beyond Israel. And so the reason that's interesting to us is because that means we are drawn into this story. Because this means this is the pattern for the Great Commission. Where we end Matthew's gospel, we're always thinking, how does this help us to take the good news of Jesus to all nations? And this is how the kingdom comes to the ends of the earth. Whatever the difference is, Jesus' ministry follows a very similar pattern. Again, think of those elite athletes on the white water. The details, every time they go down that run, the details are not going to be exactly the same. When they get to Paris, the course might be different. The conditions might be different. And anyway, those raging waters are always unpredictable. There are always going to be unique challenges every time, but you can still apply the same principles, the same pattern, the same aim. And so it is with Jesus' ministry. His ministry approach provides something of a pattern for us, no matter what our setting might be. So wherever we are, whoever we're reaching, whatever resources we happen to have, whatever the circumstances, whatever time and place, whatever the weather, this is how the kingdom comes. Like those athletes, there'll be slight differences on every run, but it's actually a very similar job each time. Same principles, same pattern. So what is the pattern of the kingdom? How does Jesus build his church? Well, it starts as needy people come to Jesus. This is the start of how things happen. Look what happens as Jesus sits down on the mountain in verse 30. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. Great crowds came to him. Jesus has a remarkable draw. He's like a giant magnet drawing needy people to himself. Here are people who clearly realize that they're needy. And so they come to Jesus for help. They come to him with their physical needs, various kinds of illnesses and injuries and disabilities, which of course are all symptoms of a far deeper disease. Such things only exist because we live in a sin-sick world. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, we all live in broken bodies, in a broken world, which reflects our broken relationship with God. Our lives always end in death, an unavoidable reminder that unless God does something, we are all heading for an eternal death of hell. But Jesus came to deal with that as well. As Jesus went about, what do we see him doing throughout the Gospels? He's bringing the kingdom of God on earth, and he does it by dealing with the physical needs and the spiritual needs, the symptoms and the root sickness. And that's why he's so attractive. When people see their true need, they come to Jesus because he's the only one who can help. But notice how, before they come to him, he has come to them. Did you notice that in verse 29? Jesus has just moved on from one region, where we were last week in the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he's now come to this new place. And it's actually his presence in the community which is the catalyst for people then being drawn to him. And that's actually one of our roles today as the church. God's people, the church, are described as his body here on earth. Our Lord Jesus is no longer physically here on earth sitting on a mountain somewhere. That's no longer the way that he draws people to himself. Where is Jesus now? Where is Jesus now? Anyone? Yeah, he's ascended. It wasn't a trick question. He's ascended into heaven. And as he ascended into heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit to live amongst his people. That is the way in which Jesus is present on earth today through us, his people. And so the way that Jesus draws people to himself today is very often through his people, through his body here on earth. As we represent Christ in our communities, what happens? Needy people are attracted. They come to Jesus. This is why church planting is so important. This is why, isn't it so exciting to for Turkey Street to be about to a start in that community up there near the M25. And there's another church, St. Matthew's Ponders End, starting in Ponders End. We're so excited about that because this is how it works. As Jesus comes into a community brought by the people who go there, needy people will be attracted to him through them. This is why missions matters. This is why we're thrilled to have sent the Macleans to West Africa. It's why we're keen to support Robin and Maddie. I wasn't going to point the finger that they've slipped in at the back there because you probably wanted to slip in quietly. Hello, Elizabeth. Welcome. Welcome to the family. But Robin and Maddie, as they train up over the next year, continue their training and then consider where the Lord will send them, where in the world they will go to make Jesus known. We're really keen to support them in that because in missions, the aim is to bring Jesus to communities so that people can be drawn to him. Do you realize that you represent Christ in your workplace and in your family, in your classroom, on the internet, in all of those communities, in your block? As part of Christ's body here on earth, your presence in those communities is no mistake. Your presence is, as it were, the way in which Jesus comes to those communities. Your presence there makes you a contact point for those that Jesus is drawing to himself. Jesus still has this same magnetic pull. We know that because he's done that for us, right? And we see that happening. Various people drawn to him for one reason or another. That's the work of the Holy Spirit moving them towards Jesus. Jesus really is attractive to those who know that they're needy. And we actually get to be a part of that. Notice how in verse 30, some people come to Jesus, but others are brought to Jesus. Some of them are actually carried and just laid at Jesus' feet. I think it's a lovely image of evangelism. It's not up to me to save someone, like Patrick said earlier. I can't convince someone to become a Christian. But my job is simply to bring people to the one who can. I can be available to those whom Jesus is drawing to himself. Let me introduce you to someone who can help. This is still the pattern of the kingdom. And obviously our time and place and audience and resources and circumstances are very different from what Jesus was facing here by the Sea of Galilee. But the basic shape remains the same. Needy people still flock to Jesus. And more often than not, they do that through his body, the church, the people of God who have come to somewhere near where they are. And as needy people come to Jesus, their needs are met by Jesus. Look at verse 30 again. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they praised the God of Israel. We're really used to reading these kind of verses about Jesus, but isn't it astonishing? Dr. Jesus, he has so many specialities. He's like the world's best GP. He would never have to refer you to any other specialist. For us, like, you know, if you've got an eye problem, then you might have to go down to Moorfields Eye Hospital. Or if you've got an issue with your heart, then is it St. Bart's? They have a place at St. Bart's, yeah? That's where James went. Thank you, St. Bart's. Or, you know, if it's a child who's really sick, he might be ended up at Great Ormond Street or something like that. But Jesus, he's like a one-stop shop. He has power over every single disease, over every single condition. And, you know, Jesus, the doctor, never has to say, well, see how you get on with this cream. Or he never has to say, come back in a few weeks for a follow-up. We've got a couple of people here in casts today. Lisa and Miracle have both got broken arms. But with Jesus, it's not like, well, come back to the fracture clinic and we'll take your cast off. It's just like in that on the spot. He just heals them completely. Amazing. those of you who work in healthcare, I'm sure you're good at your jobs, but you're not this good. No one is. Because, of course, Jesus is not actually being a healthcare professional. What he's doing is he's bringing a foretaste of the kingdom of God. This scene is a sneak preview of what it will be like when Jesus returns and brings about God's kingdom on earth in all of its fullness, where every wrong will be put right, where every bit of brokenness will be fixed, and not just fixed, actually, but made new, not just patched up. You see, this is why Jesus did more than just preach. For him, word and deed go together. He meets people's needs as a taster of the kingdom, and then he teaches them how they can be part of that kingdom. So this crowd comes with a wide range of needs, but there's one need that they all have in common. They're hungry. After 3 days with Jesus, they've run out of sandwiches. Maybe they had fished for some fish, but now they were up a mountain somewhere and they'd run out of their resources. And Jesus doesn't want them to faint on the way home. And so he says, verse 32, I have compassion for these people. When Jesus sees people's needs, his heart goes out to them. And he meets their needs. Verse 37, they all ate and were satisfied. Needy people come to Jesus, their needs are met by Jesus. This is the pattern of the kingdom. And you know, this holds true for us today. Even though, again, our time and place and audience and circumstances are very different, but the kingdom still comes as Jesus meets the needs of needy people. And again, this is something he does through his body, the church. This is a pattern for us to follow. How do we know this is a pattern for us to follow? Well, did you notice in we'll get to verse 32 in a minute, how the disciples are invited to join in with this. And this is different from chapter 14. In chapter 14, the disciples were the ones who came to Jesus with the problem. They're like, Jesus, we've run out of food, do something about it. But this time it's different. Verse 32, Jesus called his disciples to him and tells them, I have compassion on them. It's like he's inviting them to join in with his compassion. He's involving them in the discussion. He's encouraging them to be part of the solution. And again, they end up playing a really key role in serving lunch. Verse 36, Jesus breaks the bread, but he gives it to the disciples, and the disciples give it to the crowd. Jesus involves his disciples. This was a lesson they learned by doing, and it's a pattern for us to follow. As his body here on earth, this is part of how we bring the kingdom, as with the compassion of Jesus, we meet people's needs in the name of Jesus. And not just outsiders, non-Christians, but even as we show compassion to one another in the family of God, we are bringing a foretaste of the kingdom. As I wrote this on Friday afternoon, there was a queue of people sat on the sofa outside of my office, waiting to be seen by the Enfield Grace Advocacy team. Eunice and Debbie and Dorothy, they spend their Friday afternoons seeking to help people in the community who come with a wide range of often very practical needs, housing issues, health problems, financial struggles. And the Enfield Grace Advocacy team, their role is to show the compassion of Jesus, and they do it explicitly in the name of Jesus. That's an example. That's part of what it looks like to bring a taster of the kingdom of God to our community. And like with Jesus, word and deed need to go together. Not only do we display the compassion of Jesus, but we declare the good news of how to be part of that kingdom. We don't just focus on the symptoms, but on the root disease. People come with a wide range of needs, but there's one need that we all have in common, And that's our sin sickness. This is the deepest need that Jesus came to meet. And this is really important for us to remember, that as his body here on earth, not only are we his hands and his feet, but we are his mouth too, speaking the good news to others. And so a key part of what we do to meet people's needs is we explain how none of us naturally can be part of this wonderful kingdom, because our sin has broken the world that we live in. And not just broken the world that we live in, but actually broken our relationship with the God who made it. And so we urge people with our words to see the reality and the seriousness of their sin and all of its consequences. And with our words, we call people to turn away from their sin and turn to Jesus. And we proclaim the wonderful love of God and his plan to fix what was broken by sending his son into the broken world. We explain how on the cross, Jesus' body was broken for us. How in some sense his relationship with God, his Father, was broken for us. That he suffered that eternal death of hell that we deserve, so that we don't have to. And we tell people that Jesus did not remain broken, that he rose from the dead in a renewed body with new life, and that he promises to give that to all who will trust in him, all who enter his kingdom. The promise of God's people is that we will have new life in a new body, in a new heavens and a new earth that Jesus will bring about when he returns. And to be part of this kingdom of God, all we need to do is believe in him, to name him as Lord and Master of our lives. Do you know, all other needs pale into insignificance in comparison with our deepest need to be forgiven for our sins. And so as his body here on earth, this is our first focus, our primary goal. The main need that we seek to meet is as we speak the good news of Jesus. We're almost done. I know it's warm, but let's see where this ends up. This is how the church is built. This is the pattern of the kingdom. As needy people come to Jesus, their needs are met by Jesus, and they end up praising the one true God. Verse 31. There at the end, it says, they praised the God of Israel. Remember, this is taking place in Gentile territory. But as Jesus brings the kingdom to them, they are drawn into it. Through the Son of God, they experience something of the kingdom of God and end up praising the one true God. That's the aim. That's why we exist, for the glory of God. That's our purpose as the people of God in the places that he has put us. Not just to do some nice things for people, but the end goal is that we and the people around us end up praising God as part of his kingdom. And that's what happens as needy people come to see their need, and as that need is met by the Lord Jesus, as they come to him and are satisfied by him. Last night, I was at a dinner in London with 400 church leaders. Perhaps we can get this video up and ready to go. I've got a little video showing what it was like. A dinner with 400 London church leaders. All gospel churches, but from a very broad range of traditions. There was Church of England churches there. There were all sorts of denominations and non-denominational churches. There were leaders from African majority churches and South Asian churches. And that was a sneak preview. Spanish churches and Korean churches and all sorts of different types of churches, all gospel churches, and brought together to see how we might begin to build relationships and work together to reach our great city together. Here we go. We can press play on this video. Here's a sneak preview of what it was like.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
in many languages. And then we sang it in many languages, everyone in their own heart language, which I didn't get on video, which was a shame. Isn't that awesome? 400 church leaders from all different types of churches, from all kinds of languages and nationalities. Isn't that an amazing glimpse of what the Lord is doing here in our city? In lots of ways, the church ministries will look very different. Their church services today will look very different. We've got different locations, different communities, different resources that are available to us, different languages, different ways of doing things. But we are all united in that amazing grace of Jesus. And we're united in that mission to make that grace known to others, to all nations. And for all of us, that mission follows this very similar pattern. Individually, as God's people, you and I, God has put us in different places at different times with different opportunities and different capacities, but we are all part of that same mission with the same aim that people end up praising the one true God. And you know, it still follows a very similar shape to what Jesus started on the shores of Galilee. Anytime, any place, the kingdom comes as needy people come to Jesus, as their needs are met by Jesus, and they end up praising the one true God. May the Lord use us each in this mission to the ends of the earth. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for the wonder of your grace to us in the Lord Jesus. Thank you that your kingdom extends not simply to the people of Israel, but beyond, even to us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to meet our greatest need. And we thank you that to live in the kingdom of God is to have a taster of what it will be like in that day when you return, Lord Jesus, and put everything wrong right. We long for that day. And until that day, please would you help us to be your hands and your feet and your mouth, that as your body here on earth, you would be drawing people to yourself through us. Help us to be available. Help us to show your compassion and to speak your gospel. And as you do, would your church be built? We praise you, Lord, for the hundreds of churches in different ways, from different traditions, with different cultures and different ways of doing things, and even sometimes different theology on secondary matters. But we thank you so much for the unity that we have in the truth of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the glimpse of that in last night's meeting. And we pray, Father, that your kingdom would come not just here in Silver Street, not just in churches like ours, but Lord, in the broad range of churches across this capital city. Lord, we are reminded that there is just one church, the church of Jesus. And we pray that together we would be those who follow the mission pattern that you've set us. And that as you do, you will be drawing many people to yourself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.